Okay, good morning. We're going back normal. I love it. Okay, so since January, we have been in this series, Kingdom Come. And while in this series, we have been focused on the Lord's Prayer and specifically the lines, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." For weeks, we have been learning about this kingdom that Jesus shares about how he is king and how that kingdom is here and now and how we are invited to be a part of it. For me, this series has been difficult in thinking about how the world that we live in is not like that of the kingdom that we're invited to participate in. When the world is shouting at us to focus on making ourselves better and climbing the ladder of success, Jesus tells us, actually, the first will be last, and the last will be first. When the world is telling us to draw these strict party lines and to choose this right school district and focus on ourselves and the things that we think will make our lives better and safer, Jesus is saying, we are to receive the little children, the homeless man, the immigrant, the criminal, those that the world says has no value. And when we take care of these, when we receive these, when we welcome these, that we are doing that for Jesus himself. When the world is telling us to determine who is in or out, which sins or crimes are forgivable and which ones are not, Jesus says that there is always a path to redemption in the kingdom of God. That in his kingdom, the most powerful stand up and protect the most powerless. And that in doing so, there can be a cost. And today's passage is no different. I think, honestly, it is easier to understand, but it's harder to implement. We start in Matthew, where Jesus has been going around traveling and sharing, and now he's come to this place where he goes up on this mountainside, and we're in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. And halfway through, Jesus is teaching that we are to not store up treasures on earth, that where our treasures are, that is where our heart will be also, and that we cannot serve two masters, both God and money. And so this passage for today starts right after that in Matthew 6, 25 through 33. Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." For me, it can be hard to read this passage, having met so many people who struggle financially with adequate food and clothing and shelter. But I was reminded that contextually, this passage is not for the poor. This passage is for the rich, those that have money, those who are trying to store up these treasures on earth. Jesus is saying, quit trying to store up all this stuff. Quit worrying. Come to me. Seek me first. I will take care of you. When you put your focus on me and my kingdom, all the other stuff will work out. This is really easy to say, but it's really hard to live out. Worrying is pretty common for us to do today. And as a matter of fact, I have a list of the top 10 things that we as Americans tend to worry about. You can listen to them and think how they ring for you. Number one, work. Number two, money. Number three, being late. Number four, a friend or relative's health. Number five, our own health. Number six, relationships. Number seven, missing a plane or a bus. Number eight, not waking up to our alarm. Number nine, our appearance. And lastly, number 10, our families necessarily put them in that order, but that pretty much sums it up. Granted, I don't worry about missing a plane or a bus often, but if I'm supposed to be on one, you better believe that I'm worried about it. When I made that video a couple weeks ago for the mobile grocery, I was real tore up that I was going to miss that bus. And so it was like, you know, it was cold outside. Who wants to have to stand outside and wait for an hour for the next one to come through? These things listed are genuine things to worry about. And I tend to worry a lot. I have spent a lot of time stressed over all the things. And over the past few years, I have been in recovery, and I have been doing a lot of in-depth work on myself. And it finally hit me that I tend to worry about the things that I cannot control. If I can control it, I don't typically worry about it that much. But if I can't control it, you better watch out, because I can get crazy when I worry. And not only are my worries all related to things that are out of my control, every single one of them are fear-based. But this passage from today, Jesus tells us, do not worry. And then he asks, can worrying add a single hour to our lives? And the answer is no, that it can't. But what it can do is it can wreck our present. It can shut us down. If I'm being honest, it can completely debilitate me. A couple years ago, the women at the church, we were going on a women's retreat to Franklin, and so I was going, I was super excited about it, and I don't have much family here in Bowling Green, besides, like, you all are my family, but besides y'all, my parents don't live here, and so I was going to need help with Drew. He had a, he had a fall festival that night, and then my husband had to work the next day, so I needed somebody to be able to keep him for me while I was gone overnight. And my parents are great. They don't live here. But my nephew had been sick. I'm pretty sure he'd had a stomach bug. And so I'm going to stop here. I see people laughing at me. Because if you know me, you know that I get real tore up about the stomach bug. Like, I'm phobic of vomiting. It just is what it is. And so it's bad. It's very, very bad. And so I was not sending him there. I had a plan. I had it all lined out. I had everything under control. It was all going great. I was there. I was enjoying myself. And I got a call. I got a call from the woman who was supposed to be keeping Drew for me that weekend. And she said, Megan, I just want you to know that some of the kids that I keep, well, they have sort of discovered that they have lice. And just wait. And so, you know, it was like, I'm bagging everything up, and I'm vacuuming everything, and I'm doing all this stuff, and I'm checking all the heads, and Drew's still more than welcome to come, but I just wanted you to be aware. So, again, side note, I went to school to be a nurse. I am a nurse, and when my first year as a nurse, I caught lice from I caught lice from a patient. It was awful. I never had it before. And so you can imagine lice and all this real thick, curly hair I had. It was traumatizing. It was absolutely traumatizing. And so you can only imagine that when I got that call, how worried I was and how much fear there was over that four-letter word. I will never forget this day. I walked outside. And I'm outside of the rooms under this covered porch, and I lost it. I mean, I had a complete come apart. I was bawling. I was crying. I didn't know. I couldn't breathe. I completely shut down. It was just like, I knew, okay, he's going to get lost or he's going to get sick. And then I'm going to get lost or I'm going to get sick. You know, I didn't know what to do. Where was he going to go? I became completely irrational. But isn't that what worry can do to us? And at some point, something happened, standing out there under this covered thing, losing it. I had this moment of complete surrender. And I was just like, God, I can't do this. Like, I can't do this. You are going to have to take this from me. You have to. I can't take it anymore. I have to let this go. I know I can't control it. And if he's going to get sick, God, he's going to get sick. And if I get sick, then I get sick. But I cannot let this ruin my day, my time here that I was supposed to spend with you. Corrie ten Boom says, "Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength." This is so true. When we worry, we tend to lose our ability to be present with God, with our families, with those that we do life with. And it accomplishes absolutely nothing. This day, after I had this whole meltdown and I sort of let it all go afterwards, I had this complete, like this overwhelming peace that just came over me. Somehow, some way, there was a peace in knowing that even though it was out of my control, that I was trusting that God was going to be with me regardless, no matter what. And that was all that I needed. When we are worried or stressed about something, I think it's interesting how we tell each other, well, don't worry about that. Don't be anxious. Don't stress about that. It's like, that doesn't help at all. The opposite of worrying is not to not worry or to be calm or to be peaceful. The opposite of worrying is to trust and to have faith. And that is what this passage is telling us. Jesus is telling us to trust him. Don't worry about all these things that honestly are not going to matter in the long run. He's saying, trust me. Seek me. Now, fast forward a couple of years since that incident, and I have learned this, but if I'm honest, I'm not always great at remembering it or putting it into practice. Life can get crazy, and I'm constantly being pulled in all the directions and being distracted, and I tend to forget this truth. Someone around me will get sick, and I will, like, start twitching and, like, saying all kinds of things and staying away from them. You know, the past few months in my house and in my family and the lives of people that I loved, it's been hard. We've been going through a lot of things, and to be honest, it's been a very hard season. It is a hard season. And while in the midst of it, I have felt like I am so close to shutting down. I want to worry about everything. I want to worry about my family's health. I want to worry about our finances. I want to worry about work. And I've had to consciously tell myself over and over and over, Megan, stop. Breathe. Remember, God is bigger than all these things. I have to trust him. I can't let my fears and lack of control make me miss out on the good things that are still happening, even in the midst of the hardships. In this passage today, Jesus, he reminds us of something. He is saying, look at all these things that God takes care of. The beautiful flowers, the birds in the air, the grass that is here one day and is gone the next. He's saying if God can take care and do all that he does for these things, then he is going to take care of us. And not only is he saying that we can trust him to take care of us, Jesus is reminding us that if God loves these flowers and these birds and this grass, that he loves us so much more. We are to remember that we are loved, that we are valued, that we are cherished simply because he made us and we are his. No, we're not perfect, just as those who have children know that they are not perfect. But that does not change the fact that we still don't love them, that we don't think that they are beautiful, that we don't think that they are worth fighting for. And God is saying, hey, excuse me, yes, you. You think you love them? You think they are beautiful? You think they are worth fighting for? You have no idea my love for you. We are told to seek his kingdom, and all these things will be given to us. When we seek his kingdom, we are actively looking for God and the things of God at work in the world. And this can happen in all kinds of ways. It can happen as we pursue peace and justice, not just for ourselves or for those like us or those that we love, but for the marginalized as well, as the powerful stand up for the powerless. It can happen as we pursue opportunities to serve, whether it be through our partnerships here at Broadway, like the Foundry or Hotel Inc., or we go and serve with our missionaries, Justin and Ashley Guest, or you go and you mentor a kid at a local school here in town. It can be serving in the community that has nothing to do with Broadway. Maybe you want to be an advocate for CASA. Or maybe you have it on your heart that no child should go home hungry on the weekends. Or maybe there is a nonprofit that is just near and dear to you and you want to serve in that capacity. Or maybe you seek His kingdom by listening to your neighbors to see what it is that they truly need, and you serve them in that way. That is exactly how the mobile grocery came to be about. Last year, Pastor Adam invited Abraham Williams, the director of the Housing Authority, to come and share during Wednesdays at Broadway when we did our talk on race. And so Abraham and Adam are on the stage in the MAC, and they're talking, and Adam asked Abraham, you know, what can we do to help? What do the people that you serve need? And Abraham said, a grocery store. And 9 months later of meetings and conversations, we have the mobile grocery of Bowling Green, a result of seeking the kingdom, a way of serving our neighbors that honestly will probably not benefit one person at Broadway at all, a way of seeking justice. It can also happen when we give generously. When we let go of storing up treasures on earth, it frees us up to actively participate in the kingdom without fear and worry. We can let materialism go. We don't have to listen to what the world is shouting at us because we know that the things that they tell us that we need, they don't really matter. We don't have to worry about keeping up with the Joneses or the Kardashians. The world that we live in wants us to be scared. So many things are geared towards fear. It's marketing and media. Let's get you scared, and boom, enter our product or our position or our answer to your problem, and you're hooked. We have you. This product or side or position is going to be what saves you, what keeps you safe. Y'all, this is a lie. Quit believing all that the world is telling us and remember what Jesus tells us. Do not worry. The last verse from today says to not worry about tomorrow because today has enough trouble of its own. If you notice, this is not a promise that all will be well, that life is going to go exactly as we want it to. That's not it at all. This is not a promise that my kid won't get sick or catch this or that, or that my husband won't get a diagnosis or have an accident or both and life get turned upside down. But this today is a promise that if I seek Him, if I trust Him, that He will be with me. He will take care of me. Maybe not like I would prefer. Maybe not like I want. Maybe not like I think that's best, but that God loves me and I will be okay. Let us pray. God, thank you. Thank you for the reminder that your love is so much bigger than my fear, that you are here with us in the good times and in the bad, and that even, Lord, if it doesn't go the way I want it to or I think it should, that you are with me still. That you love me and that you will take care of me. And help us to remember this as we go throughout the days when we get distracted and we get caught up in all that the world is screaming at us, that we can be grounded in your truth. We love you and we thank you, and it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you. Today, as we come to communion, we need to remember that this table, as I think I said last week or the week before,